from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Pony a nickname, or is that just like, hey, people have...
People gave it to me. Everywhere I've been, people have called me that. High
Donnie,
school, college.
Donnie, did you call
college.
Yourself Donnie Football before we came along?
No, you guys started that.
Starkey desperately tried to attach multiple nicknames to me before Mulsey finally stuck. But I never called myself
What were some
anything.
Of the highlights?
Mutton.
I remember that one.
That was the main one.
The
he and Miller tried very hard to make mutton stick.
And then why didn't it? Because you were vehemently against it?
It was a terrible nickname. Joe tried to, like, once in-depth explain it on the air. He's, oh, Mulsey has a tough exterior, but he's a really tender soul underneath all that.
And I just tender soul.
You know, he's like a mutton chop. He's got a tough exterior, but I guess a buttery, melty.
A mutton chop isn't that a sideburn?
No, like actual cut of meat, mutton, I guess. I don't.
Is that a cut of meat?
I know mutton is a meat.
Have you had it before?
No, I just know, like, it's like what people ate in medieval times when they're eating turkey legs and, you know, plucking grapes off the vine.
Ari Myroff with this observation, with the decision in Denver to go with Bo Nix. 30 teams have announced, or we know who their starting quarterbacks are in week one.
If they've needed to announce, they've announced it, or we already knew Josh Allen, for example, was the Bills starter.
The Raiders are going with Gardner Minshew. There are two teams left that have not made the call. The Patriots.
Drake Mayer, Jacoby Brissett.
And the Steelers.
Mr. Unlimited, or Justin Fields.
The national media does not shoot 100%. They keep saying things like Wilson has to do something in this last game.
I just don't know where that's
still
come from.
I know.
I just don't understand it.
I'm guessing it's
Justin Fields'
agent.
Has Glazer said it one time?
Glazer hasn't said anything. He's been on vacation. He came here to have wings with Brett Michaels and Tomlin, and then he went off on vacation with his new wife.
Yeah, if Glazer hasn't,
nothing from Glazer
hasn't popped in to say something, I just don't believe
zero
it.
From Glazer.
You say Fields is agent. I think that's a good theory.
That's what a magical weekend, right? With my wife, Rosie, said Jay Glazer. The exact thing I needed before I head out for the last leg of my NFL camp tour. 2 more weeks, then we started all up again, and it ends with the Super Bowl and NFL on Fox. Yeah.
That reads like a sponsored tweet almost.
And he retweeted it. He liked it so much. He retweeted his own tweet.
His wife looks lovely, of course. You would expect. He's Jay Glazer.
She's a twin. And the
is
twin,
she really?
And the twin that he's not married to goes on the vacations with them.
Now we've Thoughts? Got something strange. That's strange. I understand that twins tend to have like some sort of bond that normal siblings don't have, but the twin comes with you guys?
And they're identical.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Why?
It just feels like there's a lot of potential for strange situations there. They're playing They're just playing pranks on Glazer. Does the other twin have the hots for Jay? Would she come on to Jay?
He's got to be able to tell the two apart.
I would imagine. I would hope.
But they are identical.
Do you think he takes these pictures, though? Jay, not a tall guy, and I say that as somebody whose ass Jay Glazer could kick easily. I can't decide if his wife, Rosie, is taller than he is, and it's one of those special angle
shots. No, I think
she
is.
Okay.
August 6th, look at the line at Dino's in Latrobe for my guy, Brett Michaels. Nobody gives a bleep about Coach Tomlin and me, and rightfully so. Hashtag rock, jock, and talk. What?
There it is. There's a video he had of like a camp tour with his wife and her twin.
See?
She's just sitting right there.
I'm telling you, man.
Doesn't that make him almost feel like a third wheel? Like, yes, they're married. She's married to me, but like they just really want to hang out because they're sisters.
Well, if I'm the twin who I guess isn't married while my sister has found the love of her life, Jay Glazer,
at some point, I'm depressed.
Like, where is my Prince Charming? Where is my NFL insider to pick me off my feet? When is Dove Kleiman going to ring my doorbell?
Dove Kleiman. What is the show's official position? Do we think Dove Kleiman's a real person?
No, you said that somebody bought the account or something like that.
All anti-Dove.
Ari Myro's been doing a lot of work today. A lot of interesting tweets.
Well, Ari says that. Points out the Steelers have not named the starting quarterback yet.
I put up this poll question just based on the Bo Nix news. I said more TD passes this year, Wilson or Nix. Who do you think is winning?
I think Wilson is blowing Nix out of the water. I think it's probably like 80-20. Am I right? I didn't even look.
Wilson's winning 53-47%. It is very close. And almost everybody who has chosen to actually respond and not just vote has said they think that Nix is going to throw a lot more.
Nix is the first Broncos rookie quarterback to start the first week of the season since Elway. Now, he's also like 27 years old, so.
I think he has the most college starts in history by like
over
6 or 7. Yeah, he's got 61 starts.
He blows Pickett out of the water in that respect.
He's probably going to be good. I mean, I think Peyton's.
Really?
I think Peyton's. Well, I need him to be because I have him in a dynasty fantasy league. But I think Peyton's a jerk, but I do think he understands quarterbacking, generally
speaking.
Okay,
well, but then how do you then reconcile saying you think Russell Wilson's going to have a good year?
Oh, I think Sean just doesn't like Russell Wilson.
So you do actually think he could have made it work there, but a personal vendetta?
I mean, do you think it wasn't working in terms of Russ's numbers? The numbers themselves were, like, on the surface, pretty good. They won some games over very good teams. I think, to me, it is like pretty obvious that personal and or contract stuff, but especially personal stuff, got in the way there.
Well, then that's one of the very few examples in NFL history where an expensive franchise quarterback lost a power struggle to a coach.
Well, they had just paid the coach even more money, and I think there were people there who were soured on Wilson from the first year.
But soured on Wilson enough where you're paying him almost $40 million to go quarterback another team in your conference?
I admit that it's not a situation with much, if any, precedent. But it's clear Peyton told them, let me draft my guy. This guy isn't a threat. I think he'll stink. I don't happen to agree with that. I think that a lot of the animus there is just strong personalities that clashed badly.
I went to Kennywood yesterday with Stella. When was the last time you were at Kennywood?
Ooh.
Donnie?
Been a couple of years, I think.
Probably like 5+ years ago.
Some great renovations going on there.
Yeah? What was her favorite thing?
She likes rides.
I saw one picture you posted where you look like you're almost keeping her in the ride.
The Little Phantom.
Because
she went on the Little Phantom.
Well,
that was the ride. I think you're trying to get her to put her hands up, but because of the way the picture's taken, it looks like you're almost trying to keep her in the seat.
Well, but on the twists and turns of the Phantom, I felt like I was just going to smush her. You know what I mean? So there was she was into it, but I just... They had the Steelers roller coaster there that apparently has not been open the entire year.
Yeah, it's...
What the hell's going on with that? They had a sign up about how they needed to bring technicians and engineers and stuff.
Were they modeling the roller coaster after last year's offense?
I don't know, dude. But the entire year it hasn't been open.
Well, they made that early announcement, in May. Or even earlier than that.
Am I wrong to think that they feel like it could be potentially dangerous if it's not
open? You can't open it if you think it's dangerous.
I know, yeah. But what about it when they built it?
That's a good question. The only thing I could answer like seriously.
I mean,
with,
good for them that
sense.
They're saying that like, they're like, hey, we know that this is probably not great because it's a huge attraction and drawing card.
What about people the land? What about like the land moving in a certain way that was unexpected? That's the only thing I could think of. Like the way that they try to anchor it down, something happened with like land moving that they can't control.
Well, then, so how do you fix that in the future?
Good question. Very good question. I think it's wild that some of these roller coasters even get built.
Why do you say that?
Just the engineering know-how needed to do it, I think, is impressive. I'm not saying it's like, oh, I can't believe they're doing it right on the side of a cliff.
That Black Widow one where it basically pulls you way up like a pendulum and then you swing back.
Is that the one that is in place of where the pitfall was?
It's not a roller coaster.
Right. I think it's like right around that area, though, yeah. Where the pitfall used to be.
Yeah, I think it is, too. That you couldn't pay me to get on that ride.
I told Chris yesterday, this is 50 plus years ago, when my mom was a kid, she got stuck on the Thunderbolt. You know that little narrow set of stairs?
How long?
They had to do it.
She had to climb down those stairs.
Donnie said he'd have been like, nope.
Oh, I would be petrified.
We got a mutton update, by the way, from our pal Chef Homer. Mutton, older sheep, lamb, sheep younger than a year. Mutton is just old sheep.
So how did that really make the case for Starkey's nickname? Didn't you say tender soul? I don't think
he was
old
just like,
sheep
I guess,
would be tender.
I guess mutton is known for being a tough exterior, I guess. But if you know how to cook mutton right, it's delicious. I don't know.
Would you guys agree with this? I feel like there might not be, as far as local food, there might not be something where the temperature determines how much I like it more than the French fries at Kennywood.
If they're scalding hot,
amazing.
Terrific. If they're not, like any French fry, if they get below like nuclear surface of the sun, they're not as good.
But so, it was a colossal line for potato patch fries. And I'm like, I'll wait my 15 minutes for it because it's a once a year thing. And so timing it out, like, am I going to get it right when it comes out of the fryer?
You never know.
And I got down to like the last batch that had been sitting out for 10 minutes. And I wanted to say to the guy, I think I'll wait
for a fresh batch. Dude, I used to do
that
at McDonald's.
I was also thinking of having somebody, hey, you want to go in front of me? Pretend like I'm trying to find my wallet or something.
Oh, that's a
have them
hell of a move
right
there.
Get the older fries, and I'm waiting for the fries.
That would have been a veteran maneuver.
That was always a roll of the dice. Like, if you'd go to McDonald's back in the day, and you'd see those fries just came out of the fryer, and they're throwing that huge-ass salt shaker on them, you knew you were in for a good time.
Because for me, the temperature is everything with it, because initially, there's nothing on it. They just have that massive potato cutter. They
Boom.
Slice it up and they throw them in. So they're not putting any extra seasoning or anything on it. It's just cut up potatoes.
You got to put the salt. Are you a malt vinegar guy? I feel like you would be.
I dabbled with it a little bit yesterday.
Alex is a huge malt vinegar on fries fan.
You know
that's like her thing, man.
What people used to do at Chick-fil-A to ensure they got fresh fries, they would just order no salt. That made me put more fries in there. And they'd say, yeah, I'll wait a couple minutes for them.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's what people would do.
Wait, I don't really know if I understand why that works.
Because because all the fries that would be sitting out already are salted. Yeah. So if you want no salt, you've got to make new fries.
That's a brilliant move.
People used to do that all the time.
Dastardly, really.
Oh, it would piss me off, especially whenever we were crowded.
Would they then ask you to put salt on them after the fact?
But it really is
a
luck of the draw thing with that whole... Like, when you get them hot,
I
honestly think it's the best fry in America.
You needed that Mulsey luck, because I was telling Donnie about this. My dad and I, when Millennium Force at Cedar Point came out, was tallest, fastest in the world. The first, like, several months, I think, it was open pony. You couldn't pick your seats. It was where the line fell, where you were. We got front car, front seat the first time. Front car, second seat the second time. The two best seats you can have on, at that point, like the most in-demand roller coaster in the United States. Winning the lottery twice in one day, basically.
Mm.
And it was just where the gate shut. So that the guy's like filing people through, right? Like, am I going to have to go in the back? The guy shuts the gate. I remember to this day going, oh, hell yeah, dude. We are in business now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mike Florio in about 15 minutes. We've spent a lot of today talking about Russell Wilson and how we feel about him going into the final preseason game. He's not getting the, hey, leave your pads and uniform at home treatment for the last preseason game. He said he's playing.
Bring a baseball cap and that's it. He should be playing. I said this yesterday. He and the rest of that first team offense absolutely should play. And you know what a departure that is for me from my usual.
And why do you need to see it from Wilson exactly?
They've looked so rusty and so bad. I actually do think they need a couple more series. There's a lot of new parts here. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback, multiple new linemen.
Well, what if they keep sucking? Do you keep playing them in the game on Saturday?
I think you do need to get
But what if you see first quarters come and gone and it looked like the Buffalo game? Do they keep playing?
I'd probably still pull the ripcord at that point, because then at some point you have to decide the risk of injury is too great to keep trotting them out there. Like I find it preposterous that Broderick Jones has been dealing with a right elbow injury of at least some significance. I think he's downplaying it, and they've been putting him out there for as many plays as they can possibly get out of him. So from that perspective, I would say obviously you've got to serve both masters a little bit here, but this is not like the late career or even mid-career Ben Roethlisberger, where you'd kind of throw your hands up and say, yeah, he's good. So is most of the offensive line. Let these guys go. Defense, they don't need to do much of anything. Like, let the backups play. They're in a different spot here.
Starkey wrote today that the Lions are who the Steelers want to be.
Yeah, I'm pissed about that.
That's who they really, this coach who has this larger than life booming personality, who has this like physical
this presence about him,
this brash kind of personality. Guys want to play for him, want to follow him. Their whole mantra is they're going to beat you up and kick your ass, but then you look at their offense and it's so well designed and there's so many different ways they can beat you. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we looked at like the nadir point of the Steelers season when they tied the Lions.
Correct. The Mason Rudolph game
where Ben had COVID and Mason went in and they
threw it 50 times.
And the Lions were winless at the time.
That was when Godwin Igwebuke ran all over them. Who was the other dude? There was another guy in that game for Detroit that made big plays. Rudolph took him right down the field on the first drive for a touchdown and then nothing happened.
He bounced past a ball to Ray McLeod in the end zone.
Correct.
Freiermuth had a fumble in overtime.
Oh, hilariously ugly football game. One of the worst I've seen. I'm mad Joe wrote that because it's such an accurate take.
Oh, Swift had a huge game.
Okay.
33 for 130.
Do you want an insane stat on the Steelers and Lions, which makes what Joe is saying, like that best case scenario is the Steelers become the Lions?
Sure.
How many times in the modern era of football do you think the Steelers have lost to the Lions? And here's the caveat. when it hasn't been Thanksgiving?
Lost to the Lions.
How many
non-Thanksgiving
losses do the Steelers have to the Lions in the since the merger?
Zero.
Donnie?
I mean, yeah, I can't think of any.
The only year I'm thinking of where they could have done it,
unless they're way beyond,
like 1991, when the Lions were in the NFC title game and lost to Washington. But I don't even remember the Steelers' schedule, so I'm gonna go zero.
I'll say one.
Zero.
Different.
They have two losses since.
Yeah, the Jerome Bettis coin flip.
Since 70, they have two losses. They lost the Bettis game, yep, and they lost in 83. They got destroyed. It was like 44-6 or something like that on Thanksgiving. In the 83 season. And that's it. That's it. Which the 83 season reminds me of Steve Wilson is our voice guy, and our promos, you hear his voice.
Yes.
He is the man that voiced the wonderful Ayuk clip for us.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Ayuks of our lives.
That's Steve. Those are his pipes. Steve has also been tasked with doing this list of famous Steelers
by their numbers
in their jersey numbers as we count down to week one.
Yes.
And so we are 18 days away from Steelers and Falcons. So Steve put this together for today.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. The countdown is on. Only 18 days until Pittsburgh faces the Falcons. And these are some of your favorite 18s. Mike Tomczak, Clifford Stout. The countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Champ Tires. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Clifford.
Clifford Stout.
Clifford.
First time ever.
The big red. I think of Clifford. I think of that big red dog from kids' books.
And your favorites. The guy came back for a USFL game and had snowballs thrown at him. It's like viewed by many who are old enough to remember as like one of our darkest hours as a football fan base.
Correct.
That might be one of those numbers you just skip.
Also, like Mike Tomczak, Mike Tomczak, beloved. Like, forget about the Stout part of all this. Mike Tomczak?
If I don't have a text from my dad in the next 10 minutes about both of those guys and about that line, I'd be stunned.
I'll be honest. They would have been better off just going Deontay Johnson for 18. They really would have been.
Yeah, why didn't he?
Clifford Stout.
At least he was a pretty good player.
He's never been called Clifford.
How about Michael Mitchell on day 23?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right.
How about Steve Bono? Is that gonna
we're only about a week away.
Your favorites, Clifford, Lewis, Stout.
I mean, Steve is based in Atlanta. He did not grow up a Steelers fan, so I understand how these faux pas happen.
But still.
But
Clifford.
Hey, Steve, number one, it's not Clifford. And number two, can we maybe change the wording from these are Steelers who wore number 18 and not
Steeler legends?
Favorites?
Favorites, yeah.
Maybe
is there
just
any other
former Steelers
we could have gotten in there that might have been? I'm trying to just think. Guys who wore the number 18. Don't they have that on Pro Football Reference, like history of the number? Here we go. Oh man, this is grim. Oh, here. Hold on. Just modern era.
Did he really have a hard time, or is that what you're
Deontay
telling me?
Deontay Johnson.
Yep.
Prior to that, David Gilreath. Who could forget that 2012 Gilreath had? Walter Young in 2006. Tomczak. Harry Newsome in 1985.
I would have gone with Newsome.
And then there was Stout, and then Terry Knofsinger.
Yeah.
Jack Kemp? The Jack Kemp?
I would have said Jack Kemp. The man was a distinguished congressman.
Donnie, if you can tell me Jack, well, and for the Steelers, I wouldn't call him beloved because he played in 4 games, 8 of 18. Jack Kemp's middle name, Donnie, if you could just pull this out of the ether, I will laugh very hard. It's got to be one of the funniest middle names I've ever seen. It has to
be. So it's something very off the grid.
Yeah. Nothing.
I don't know. Sylvester?
French. Jack French Kemp. It has to be like.
Sylvester?
I don't know. Jack. This is our buddy Sylvester Kemp for president.
It's Wednesday at 3:30. That means it's time to talk to our guy, Mike Florio, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert, Pro Football Talk, PFT Live. He's on the McAfee Show today. Mike's everywhere. We're always happy to have him. Soon enough, he'll be part of the coverage of Chiefs and Ravens. Now, about 15 days away. All right, Mike, Steelers now one of only two teams who have not named a starting quarterback for week one. Are you one of the insiders who thinks there is still a chance Justin Fields beats out Russell Wilson for the job?
I don't know what the Steelers are thinking, but I think it'd be crazy not to go with Justin Fields. Looking at that offense, the way the offensive line's playing, and you throw on top of it Jaylen Warren, presumably being injured into the season, where do you get the burst? Where do you get the acceleration? Where do you get the excitement? You get it from Justin Fields. All things equal, give me the guy who can make things happen with his legs. Yeah, the passing is a little erratic. You got to take the good with the bad. Sails the ball over the wide open guy for the touchdown. Two plays later, threads the needle on the sideline. I thought that watching that game on Saturday night, there just was a greater sense of excitement when Justin Fields played. And if the offense isn't going to be what it needs to be, go with the guy that gives you that ability to make things happen when the protection falls apart, when the play that's called goes to crap, and you've got to have a guy who can improvise with his legs. I didn't see anything from Russell Wilson that told me he's any different than he's been the last 2 years in Denver. I'd go with Fields, but I don't know what they're going to do.
It seems like we think here that they're going to go with Wilson, and I would say, Mike, the main reason is if it defaults back to Mike Tomlin and it is his choice, we know that Fields turns the ball over a fair amount historically, and we know Tomlin hates turnovers, especially when he can let his defense eat to try to win here for the first couple of weeks.
Well, look, that wouldn't surprise me. And again, he's still at the top of the depth chart, Wilson is. The Steelers are one of the few teams who don't try to downplay the significance of their preseason depth chart, and it's still Wilson. So it won't surprise me if that's what happens. But if you want excitement out of that offense, I believe that Fields provides it. Now, look, I saw that Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, said they didn't have a lot installed and Russell Wilson has missed a lot and he still wanted to play the other night and maybe he'll look better in the third preseason game if he plays in it. Who knows what the final decision is going to be. I watch Russell Wilson now and I run it through that filter of what he looked like in Seattle and what he looked like in Denver. And what I saw on Saturday night, I watched the entire game and especially watched his entire time on the field, it just looks too much like the guy in Denver. And that's not what the Steelers need if the offense is really going to be better.
Mike, I did all the things you described. I watched the entire game. Now, there was a hiccup for me because my daughter slammed her head on our coffee table in our living room, so that did cause a bit of a delay. But I, like you, was watching very closely. But I have turned over a new leaf. I don't put any stock in these things anymore because of how much I was hoodwinked by Kenny Pickett. And I do, and someone just sent me this while we were talking. One of your comments, and this I can't throw stones here because I did the same thing. This is Mike Florio on August 25th, 2023. As soon as Big Ben ascended into football heaven after the Browns game, they went straight to work on their replacement. They got him in Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was brought to them by the football gods. You were too very bullish on Kenny off of preseason games. So should we keep reacting to preseason games so intensely when we all got bamboozled by Kenny last year going 5 for 5 touchdowns to series in the preseason, Mike?
Well, the football gods, as it turns out, have a very cruel and ironic sense of humor.
Because we watched these August games last year and thought they have their guy. You and me both did it, man.
Well, don't lump me into there because I was a little more cautious.
I'm pointing at Mike, not you, but yes, we overreacted
to
preseason.
He did look good last preseason. And you're right, you're right. Look, do we read too much into it? I don't know, but it's all we have. It's all we have. And the one thing we don't have access to is what is the team specifically doing with those preseason reps to show or not show, to hide or reveal what a guy is going to be or trying to make a guy look better than he is. You know, maybe they learned last year, let's not go out of our way to try to make the offense look better than maybe it is, because then there's only one direction to go. Let's keep our cards close to the vest. Let's acknowledge this is practice. It doesn't matter. Let's conceal what we're ultimately going to do, and then we'll unleash it on everyone when we go to Atlanta week one. That's entirely possible. When you throw in the injury, who knows what they have up their sleeves. But, yeah, we can only make assessments based on what we see. What we saw last year from Kenny Pickett looked good. What I've seen from the offense so far this year, especially on Saturday night, looked bad. But one of the problems was, and Mike Tomlin said this, the pass protection was not good. And if that doesn't get any better, that's why I'm a believer in Fields. If your quarterback is going to be constantly under duress, go with the guy who still has enough spring in his legs to run away from it.
Mike, one more Wilson-related question. You just mentioned, like, you know, if he is the kind of guy he was in Denver, his numbers last year looked good. I know the year before, terrible. The people you talk to who evaluate players, do they put any of his Denver tenure on other factors besides Russ himself, i.e., they thought it would be Hackett and Rodgers the first year? It wasn't. It was a very inconvenient marriage and so on. Or is it mostly getting thrown at the feet of Wilson just wasn't very good there?
Well, I think the first year, the issue with Hackett and the problems with him as a head coach, not offense coordinator, and plenty of guys can be great coordinators, but they can't get it done as a head coach. It was too slow getting the plays in. There was never any rhythm. It just didn't feel right. Last year, the issue was, frankly, that Russell Wilson, who it seemed like two, three times a game would do something spectacular, but play in and play out, drive in and drive out, it just didn't click. He wasn't running the offense the way that Sean Payton wanted it to be run, and Sean Payton wasn't going to compromise that, which is the big reason why Russell Wilson isn't there. But there just feels like, qualitatively, when you watch him now, something's missing from what he was in Seattle. Not every guy is going to be able to continue to play the same way he has deep into his 30s and into his 40s. We get spoiled by guys like Tom Brady, and I think once you start to lose just a little bit of that edge that allows you to run away from pressure, that can screw up everything. So I think a lot of different factors go into it. It was a huge mistake by the Broncos. In hindsight, obviously, to trade for him. The biggest mistake they made was 2 years ago when they gave him that giant new contract before he'd ever even played for him. Why do you do that? That's what made a bad situation even worse for the Broncos, to put all that money on top of it when he was still 2 years away from a new contract. Let a year play out and then make a decision. Would have been a lot easier for them to move on than it was.
Mike, how about the Ayuk situation? We're now getting Ari Myrovs and people like that saying it's very, very close to done. It's almost done. He's almost a 49er. You hearing the same information on Ayuk going back to San Francisco on a new deal?
I've been careful about what I report on this one because stuff has been all over the place and a lot of people have just been dead wrong. I think that the longer this lasts, the more likely he's just going to stay in San Francisco, and they're waiting until the right moment. It's a deadline-driven business. And if you move to your final position before the deadline, you're going to get squeezed from your final position. So it's about timing. When will the 49ers put their last offer on the table and have confidence that he's going to accept it? I think if he was going to be traded to the Steelers, it would have happened by now. Because if I'm Pittsburgh, I got to get this guy in here and I got to get him ready. You can't plug and play. This isn't like a third baseman in baseball. This guy's got to learn the rest of the offense. He's got to learn the coaching staff. He's got to learn the playbook, the terminology, the teammates. He's got to move from San Francisco to Pittsburgh. You want to get something out of him week one. You're not going to get much out of him early in the season, and he's going to have that vibe all year long that he's behind. You don't give up that kind of money for a guy that is going to create this sense that he's spending all of his first year there trying to catch up.
Can you remember a particular like player trade rumor situation like the Ayuk one that has played out in as, I don't know, overwrought or soap operatic a fashion? Guys get traded all the time, Mike. This is, seems like beyond the pale what's going on with him.
Well, I mean, there are shades of Terrell Owens from 2005 in there, although the Eagles were never going to trade him. He did everything he could to try to get traded. He showed up, and he was disruptive, and he eventually got sent home from training camp, and he eventually got sent home with pay for the rest of the season. So this one is just, yeah, I think along the way to trading him, the 49ers finally realized, if all these other teams are willing to pay this guy what we want, we should just pay him. And
but what's that going to cost them in the long run, Mike?
Receiver, maybe we should.
Is that going to cost them Deebo Samuel or Trent Williams or somebody else?
Well, I think they really wanted to hold everything together for one more year with the key core of veterans they've had. I don't know. You know, remember, at one point before the draft, the Steelers were linked to Deebo Samuel. Now, I think maybe they can do it where everyone's cap number fits for one more year, but I think it makes it clear after this season, Deebo Samuel will be gone and George Kittle will be gone, and then whoever else stays or goes remains to be seen. They're very good at drafting young talent that can fill those spots, but I feel like this is the last year of the 49ers as we've known them, and then next year there'll be major changes, and one of them presumably will be Brandon Ayuk becomes their number one receiver.
Mike Florio on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Mike, we'll talk again next week. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.